This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. That's Arthur crushing that Nyla bone. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, the birthday boy himself. Well, the birthday boys. Number one birthday boy. How did I not say that? Paul Scheer, guys. Still works, man.
Still good. I will tell you, so I'm on the show Black Monday right now. And get my plugs out right away.
Yeah, we do it different here. Get them first.
First out. So the first episode of the show that we're doing after we got picked up was directed by this guy. I'm like, man, you look so familiar. How do I know you? He's like, I was the what's up guy. And I was like, really? He's like, what's up? And I was like, oh, what's up?
And he now he's a TV director?
He directed Uncle Drew, that movie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The basketball movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
But it was so funny to be like, how do I know this guy?
It's crazy where people end up.
I know. But it was a lovely guy, but I was like, man, that must have been crazy. Like, I remember where I was when the first commercial aired. It was a New York Knicks game. 7:37 p.m. Like, he had like walked it through, like almost like the moon landing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And then the
I'm sure
world
he's been
changed.
Asked about this. I'm sure he has like an oral history of Budweiser commercials that he's been interviewed
Where
for.
Where were you when your first commercial catchphrase catched on, John? Did you ever have a commercial catchphrase?
I had never had a good commercial. I was edited out of a Jell-O commercial that ended up being like the most fruitful thing I've ever, like the most financially viable day of work I've ever had. And I didn't even end up in the final product.
I was called the night before commercial shot, and they're like, Paul, you got the part. And I'm like, what part? And like, you auditioned for it. And I was like, I don't remember auditioning for it, but I was like young and dumb, and I was in New York. I was like, yeah, I got the part. And basically they just brought me in to be like an extra, but I thought like I had gotten something. So the whole morning I'm like, where do I go? And they're like, just over here. And this group of people, I'm like, all right. And so it was like a commercial for like Honey Bunch of Oats, and it was like a support group for people who love Honey Bunches of Oats, and we're all in this fucking circle, and I'm sitting next to the lead guy, the guy who actually got the part, and like he's like, I'm addicted to Honey Bunches of Oats, and we're all like, I'm addicted to honey, and I started saying it out loud, and the director comes over, he's like, hey, can you not say anything out loud? Because we didn't pay you to say anything out loud. I was like, oh, okay.
The harsh reality of the business is landed right on your lap there.
And I'm like, oh, no. And then we do it again. And I'm just moving my mouth, like, just saying those words but not saying anything. And then he's like, come here. Let's put you over here. And then literally put me right in front of the camera. So back of
just
my head.
Yeah.
It was like just back of my head in this Honey Bunches Oats commercial. It was a gut-wrenching day going from like, I made it. I got this part of a thing I didn't even audition for. And then
Fooled by doing extra work is like a round everyone has to do in entertainment. And some people accidentally end up doing it for 10 years or purposefully. But every one of them is still fooled.
No, it's like because you have to equate yourself. You're like, I'm doing something here. Like one of the first gigs I got that I was so excited about was it was like USA had this diner, and like everyone was sitting around in a diner, and they would just play old people's court episodes, and then the host would like walk around like, what did you think of that episode? But the chances they'd come over to you was so small, but you'd sit there from like 9 to like 1, because it was airing like live, it was like live interstitials.
And you got like $100 or $80
and
for
I was like, Dad, you gotta watch USA Today. You gotta watch it. Like, just to be like the wraparounds of fucking people's court.
The days of trolling, like going through Craigslist to find acting jobs where you're like,
wow, I didn't even do that.
$400 for a video, and then you don't even know where it's going to air, but you're like dressed as a wrestler screaming.
Oh, wait, did you do that thing with me where we got dressed as wrestlers in Carnegie Hall?
No, I did something with, and Bobby Moynihan was there, but it was way, also a January 31st guy.
Yeah.
It was way early in my career, quote unquote. I think I was even PAing at VH1 at the time, and I went to there on a Saturday, and we shot a weird thing that was supposed to be like video game load screens for like a fake, and I had no idea what it was, but all I knew I was getting like $250.
I got paid, this is a big money gig, I got paid $1,000.
Holy shit.
To dress as a wrestler. I didn't know what it was, and basically it was for the CBS upfront presentation. So every year, the networks go and they kind of woo all the advertisers, and they're at Carnegie Hall. So Carnegie Hall, we're all dressed like idiots like me and a bunch of people that you know. I think Riggle and Billy Merritt and Les Moonves is on stage, president of TV. He's like, we got more than just.
I just recently became a huge fan of his.
Oh, yeah. He's a cool guy.
The more I hear about the guy, the more I respect him.
Like, had a lot of different jobs for different types of people. Classy dude. So, Les Moonves is on stage. He's like, because I guess UPN was doing wrestling at this point, and UPN as a network doesn't even exist anymore. He's like, we're more than just wrestling. And then we all came out on stage like, hey, hey, come on. And as we were saying that, they ushered us off stage, on stage for 25 seconds.
But standing all day in a weird ass costume.
But no, it was the best gig. It was just that $1,000, whatever it was, to walk across stage for 25 seconds. And that was
I would
it.
Take
it was,
that now.
Oh,
I would do that right now.
Heartbeat.
Yeah, that's the best, especially if it's not filmed. And you're like, oh, there's no way this can come back and bite me in the ass.
Yeah, no. It's like, no one will ever see this. It's great.
Done so many shitty jobs like that. Well, Paul, I've been wanting to have you on High and Mighty forever because we have a lot of weird things in common. We're both from Long Island, which is like 10 episodes of this podcast are about Long Island. We both enjoy watching good and bad movies to the degree where we've monetized it or at least turned a hobby into a career, maybe potentially ruining watching movies for ourselves.
It really does. It's hard. Like, but don't you find that now watching like a good, like, I don't know, there's certain things about good movies that feel so great to me. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Like, or I guess I should say a mediocre movie is kind of great because I'm used to seeing such shitty movies.
It does feel that way when you get to watch a movie that you're not watching for work, where you're like, oh, I'm just going to put on this movie and enjoy it.
Well, it's been fun. I've been doing this other podcast where we watch good movies called Unspooled, and it's been like all these amazing movies. We watched like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Schindler's List.
Is it like the 100 best AFIs? 100,
yes, and it's an interesting list. It's like the 100 best movies of all time. And there's no female directors on it, which is crazy. And the ordering of it is bizarre. But for the most part, they're all like amazing films. And it is weird because my instinct when I'm watching a movie and taking notes is like, what the fuck is that?
Especially if you're like coming from a comedy standpoint, you're like, I'm ready to roast Gone with the Wind. And then you're like, can I?
I know. I just sit there like there'll be a week where I'll be watching like, you know, Cellular with like Jason Statham and then going to like Clint Eastwood and Unforgiven. My mind's like, no, stop this. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're in Unspooled, like shit talking. She's like, that didn't happen. That's not a thing. Crank 2 you're thinking of. Also, we're both January 31st people, and this is our birthday today.
Yes, this is amazing. It's our birthday today. And what better way to celebrate a birthday than with doing a podcast?
Doing my job, me doing my job, you doing a favor for someone else's job.
Yeah, well, I will say this. Why do you celebrate your birthday? Because I think it's like, we're in this zone, we're older, right? We're not like, you know, so it's like the idea of like going out and getting wasted is not like high on my list. Like, I don't want to like go out and get fucked up on my birthday.
Only accidentally get fucked up these days, like where I'm just like, I guess I had 5 drinks last night or whatever.
I did something at one point. I was like, oh, I'm like kind of gone right now, and I was like, but it's so rare, I almost dosed myself.
So my birthday traditions more or less is like the weekend before or after the birthday. We have trouble because usually the weekend after our birthday is the Super Bowl.
Which is what it's doing this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to do the one before, which is the Pro Bowl weekend. So you get...
Yeah, it's a little tricky because we're... Yeah, it's a 31st is a good one because far enough away from Christmas, which is great.
Yeah.
But we're fucked by the Super Bowl.
It is. I've always been like, no one wants to party on the Saturday night before a Super Bowl. At least when you were younger. Now that I'm in like my late 30s, although last year for my birthday, I did rent chartered a bus and took 50 friends to go. Well, they paid for their tickets and bus, but we went, took 50 people to go watch USA play Argentina in rugby down in Carson, California.
Well, that's
actually
great.
To work out. Amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. But I think it's like, it's hard to figure out what to do on your birthday because you want to like treat yourself well.
Right.
You also want to like, I like to take the day off. I'm a big believer in taking the day off on my birthday. This is technically on off. I'm off now, but I'm like, I don't want to do anything, right?
Right. Like you're saying, like you won't even schedule something for January 31st during the day if you're on hiatus.
If I have to work, if I have to work, you have to work. But if I can have any control over it, it's like, no, it's like a free day.
You should. Yeah. You should be able to sleep in. Yeah. Maybe get a little help with, I'm not a parent, but you are. Yeah. So I'm imagining like.
Well, yeah. Like it's like, how do you, yeah, you like, I mean, yeah. My wife takes care of me on my birthday. I take care of her on her
That's
birthday.
That's how we do it in our... Yeah,
it's the right way to do it. My wife did one thing that was really awesome one time. She got me breakfast in bed from a chef that came to our house and made breakfast. And then, like, by the time I woke up, it was all ready to go with all my favorite stuff. And
oh, that's so cool.
It was a great gift. You know, use that. You can take, use that because it's a good thing to do because it's like a, such a surprise because you're not even leaving your house and you're in bed. And it was like,
that's like my, the dream idea of a birthday gift for me. Oh. I don't have to leave my house.
Oh, get, yeah. You just like kind of get up nice and casually and like, it was so good.
And we, me and Tiff do dinner on the nights of our birthdays if it's not the weekend.
Oh, that's good.
And, birthday person gets to choose. So that, oh, okay. She usually chooses some like expensive restaurant we've been talking about going to.
Got it.
And I usually make her go to a place that she would always like poo-poo for a date night.
That you see, that's a smart way to go. Like I was so excited. There's a place out here called Saved by the Max. And it's, yes, a Saved by the Bell restaurant,
I've
right?
I've been there. Right, yeah, of course.
So they're opening up a new version of it. It's like the Malibu Sands version
of
it.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, I was trying to get, I was like, June, you want to come? I got like an invite to go to like VIP opening night kind of thing. And she'd never gone. And she, I think she would like it. And she's like, no, absolutely not. And I was like, I just felt like, you know, it's so hard because like some of the nerdy shit that I really like to do, my wife, June, does not want to do it at all.
Yeah, but she, I gather based on what I know from knowing your wife and because Tiff's kind of similar, she's also not like, don't do that. She's just like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. She's like, you do whatever you want to do. Like, I've been really into like immersive theater stuff and like VR stuff.
Oh, Jesus. Like, of course. Oh,
I'm in it. I got a VR set at home. All right. Let me tell you about this. Tell me if you think this is at all interesting. If you don't like it, you could be like, no, that's not my
thing. Okay. Speed.
So I did this immersive theater thing. It was downtown. You go in and you're transported to this like club in Paris, right? And you sit down, they kind of explain the rules to you, and then you get to walk and explore whatever you want to do. It's like a video game. So there's all these actors out there and you can interact with them, talk with them, and if you engage them and open them up to talk about one thing, they'll send you on an adventure. So I did it twice. One time I was trying to find a secret treasure, and the other time I was getting involved in this secret society where this guy was like a devil worshiper who was running the entire club. But I'm in there with eight other people who are also on eight different tracks. And then we all meet up. But like, so at one point, like I had to poison someone. Like someone came over to me, like, give this to an actor, not like ever, and give it, slip it in their drink. So there was a moment where I had to go over, pour the poison into their drink. They drink it and they die. Now, if I don't do that, they live on for the rest of the night. If I do do it, you take it out of the game.
That changes the step. And, oh,
it's like, I mean, and I was like, I love that.
You've got me. I that sounds super appealing to me because I fucking, it feels like a role-playing game.
Yeah.
It feels like RPGs in real life. Yeah.
Yes. And like, and it's not like, it's like there's a level of artiness to it, but it's also like, it's just kind of fun to just be like, oh, it's a way of like playing or just
coming from like improv world too, I think really helps you with that. Cause you're like, we're used to like silly theater games. We don't do it anymore as part of our shows, but I still have it in my bones where I'm like, I'll fucking walk around like a giraffe or whatever.
Well, yeah. And I'm in there and I'm like, and I have to interact with these people and I have to get information from them. And yeah, cause it's part of like, I'm trying to get my journey, but also I'm not fully committed to it. I'm like, oh, okay. So how are you doing this? Like, you know, like, cause I don't know why I don't want to like fully commit to being like, yes, doctor, we must go into that room.
I know. It's funny. Cause I would be amazing to like run into you in one of these things and you have like an eye patch and like a tuxedo on. And I'm like, Paul, you're like, you must be thinking of my nephew. I'm Reginald.
It's like, it's just like I think I'm always trying to find like those other things that are fun. Like I've done the escape rooms. Escape rooms are fun and fine.
I love puzzles. I've never even done an escape room though.
See, I would, like that's the thing that June won't go with me in. Escape rooms are super fun. If you like puzzles, it's just that you're living in a puzzle. That's
right,
all you
exactly.
are. And there's like, June thinks that she's going to be like kidnapped or tortured and these things. Like there's a dude standing there who's like, getting warmer, cold. Like, you know, basically like.
Tiff, same way, she goes, it's the best place to have you killed. And it's like, what? Okay.
It's not. But you know what I think when I've gone in those escape rooms, like, you know, you'll be in a room like where there's a couch and a table and stuff. And they have to like let you know like 10 times, like, don't rip the cushions apart on the couch. Like, don't try. There's no clue hidden in the stuffing of the
cushions.
Clearly,
they had like one dude who opened up a pocket knife. Was like, it's got to be in the cushions. Exactly. It just immediately starts cutting.
Like, and they're like, people like popping through the roof. It's like, guys, like, this, you understand this is just a thing. It's not real. Like,
that's where the improv background comes into play, though, because then you're like, I'm assuming I know the rules of this.
Yes.
And there's no way the answer is smash the sheetrock, because they have another escape room starting a half hour after this one.
Yeah, this thing cost me $30. They're not like. This is not a high-end experience. This is not like, you know.
You're like, I think we're supposed to kill this person. Choke out the monitor.
Yeah, so, I mean, we also do a similar thing about dinners and stuff like that. We get, like, a dinner. But I'm always trying to figure out, like, I always want to make my birthday, like, kind of, not epic, but just special.
Right.
Like, you just give myself, like, last year, June was working all day. I had nothing to do. So I went to like Disneyland and I was like, I'm just going to Disneyland for my birthday. Cause they have those like passes, like those year passes. I was like, and I went and had like a nice lunch. There's like a fancy place there. And I was like, had a nice lunch with like a martini. I was like, all right. And I told June, I'm like, she's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm at Disneyland. She's like, that's weird. That's sad. And I'm like, it's not like, and maybe she was right. I just like, I was like, I don't know what to do. I was like, but like, I think I'm always just trying to like, make it feel something.
Yeah,
more.
That's what I kind of want. I always like, I used to just throw like a party. Then I was doing like, I did, and when I lived in Brooklyn, I did a beer tasting for my birthday. Everyone brings different beers, and then there's like categories, and I have like friends are arbitrarily the judges. And then like a couple years ago, I did the rugby thing, and then this year we went to Smorgasburg downtown.
Oh, was that fun?
Like, yeah, it's awesome. Like, reserved a couple of tables and just ate food all day long.
Yeah.
But I always want to do. And this is like, I guess, a humble brag in a way, but I think you can attest this. Because we have, I mean, you have even more than me, and this is another thing I want to talk to you about. Because you have 10 jobs, like, if you want to invite, like, your buds to, like, a you have to go from, I have to be, like, 7 people, especially if you're married and been married a long time. You have spouses, friends,
and
stuff.
Oh, there's a lot.
So you, I either can only have 4 people for my birthday, or, like, if I'm like, all right, well, if I'm inviting Anthony King, I got to invite these 10 people.
Well, and that's what I fall into all the time. Like, I had a birthday party for my 40th, and I was like, it's not easy for me to like knock down this list, because if it's going wide, it's got to go a little bit wider than I would want it to, because I don't want to feel like make people feel badly. Like,
and the people that you would make feel badly are people that you wouldn't be mad if they did show up to your party.
It's no,
just
I
like,
want
I just,
them.
I can't have 80. I can only have 60.
Yeah, it's like, it's a tricky thing. So I wind up now doing a lot more smaller events. Like, for example, this weekend for the Super Bowl, we're having people over our house. And what we're doing for it is only parents with kids. So, of course, that's what parents are.
People pretending to be parents.
Yeah, no people. But like, I guess what we've felt is like, we've gone to a couple Super Bowl parties, and it's fun. We bring our kids. People are like, bring your kids. It's not fun for them. They're not really wanted, because it's not like a kid party. So we're like, hey, we know a bunch of parents that are in this boat that kind of want to like go to a Super Bowl party, but also don't want to go to like the one where there's no kid, you know. It's like,
you don't want your kid to be the one that's talking during commercials.
So right now,
you don't want them to be the only one if you're at a party where everyone's like, we're fine.
And also, it's like, it helps you relax too, because if you're at a party with other kids, it means other people are watching your kid too. Like, you're all sharing
it's
the
like
duty,
a collective village kind of situation.
Yeah, so like,
and also, yeah, there's that instinct too where you're like, if your kid makes a mess or is loud or whatever, it's like, everyone else is like, dude, we're parents too. It's fine.
So our Super Bowl party is like 8 adults. Like, so it's like 4, you know, like 4 parents. I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, it's a great, like, so it's like just finding like those weird things. So it's like, no one's gonna get upset. They're not invited because they were you know, like, there's a rule.
Also, choosing the Super Bowl thing is a very good thing too, because people often have plans too.
Yes.
So you can get out of the loophole of like, I just assumed you had plans. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah, so I'm trying. But I mean, that like, that will just be
like,
that's a like fun,
my idea of like what I want to do for my birthday is like have a weird. Like, the other, I was talking about having like these 2 chefs I know that do like weed infused cooking. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder how much it would cost to have them come over my house and make a bunch of dumplings or something
that.
And then host people at a party at my house. And
I'm all
like,
about
that. What it is now.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of like what you're saying is experiences. Like, can you go somewhere? Can you do something? Can you just I just think that that's like, I think when that first started kicking in for me is when people would start having birthday dinners and be like, I'm taking you out for my birthday. Like, so here's like 10 people. We're all going to a steak restaurant. I'm buying it because it's my birthday. And it's like, oh, that's a cool way of doing things.
Hell yeah. Like, that's why I love the whole, like, don't worry, guys, I'm bringing a bunch of tequila. I'm making the drinks for us, but it's my birthday. Let's do blah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like, I'm all on board on that.
Do you guys get gifts for each other still?
Yes, we do. Do you?
My birthday is close to Christmas, and so is Tiff's is like before Christmas.
June's is January 4th, and I'm January 31st. Yeah.
So it is like that weird situation where we're like, we should get each other not get each other birthday gifts, but get each other Christmas gifts, or flip it, you know?
Yeah, we've done something where I always, like, here's my rule of thumb. I always get my wife a gift, because whenever it is a, like, we're not supposed to, I don't ever know. I never know.
I got ping this year hard.
Oh, you see?
She got me Gucci flip-flops, which is a fucking dope-ass gift. And she said, if you're going to be outside smoking weed and flip-flops all day, they should at least be Gucci flip-flops.
That's hilarious. Like, oh, thank you. It.
But I was like, I thought we weren't getting each other gifts. And she's like, we never said that. And I was like, my stomach dropped. And I'm like, this is the worst situation. Oh, I've got nothing.
I always have a gift ready, because I'd rather, no one's going to be upset that you got a gift. But if you come empty handed, like I was told by
Arthur's getting louder and louder toys.
I was told, drop it, dude. Like my aunt and uncle were like, oh, come over for Christmas Eve one time. And they're the best. They're such a sweet people. And we kind of just said, like, no gifts. And we got there, and everyone had gifts for us. And June and I had no gifts. And we had to get gifts from my two cousins. They were lovely. My aunt and uncle, the nicest. And it was like four rounds of gifts, and we had nothing. I felt like such a piece of shit.
Yeah, nothing. My brother-in-law did something this year at Christmas, which I will steal from now on. Uh-huh. He showed up to my mother-in-law's house with all the gifts we had for each other, and then also, he had a case of wine with him, each wine with a ribbon on it. I'm like, who are those for? He goes, whoever I forgot.
That's
and
great.
I'm like, he's like, just in case, like, the random aunt's like, I got you a gift card. You can go, great, I got you a bottle of wine. And he's like, I'm like, you have 12 bottles of wine over there? He's like, and if I don't, they just go in my, I have
that's
them for the rest of the year.
Smart.
It's a genius move.
I like that. I'm a big believer in, not for people that I'm close with, but when I have to do like bigger Christmas gift items and stuff like that, I do gift cards, and my gift cards are kind of great, because I feel like, and this is maybe a bad thing, but I feel like everyone wants to buy something on Amazon. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know you. Like, I don't know you enough to get you what you want.
Right, right.
So here's something, you'll buy it, because it's not a restaurant that you have to go to. It's on Amazon. Everyone's fucking on Amazon.
You can literally get anything.
You can
buy
groceries.
You can buy Snapple. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just get it. And I feel like that's like the best, like, that's been my go-to gift. Whenever I'm like in a moment, I'm just like, just shoot over a digital Amazon card and just be like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then this year I upgraded it to certain people who I really like. I got people Ticketmaster gift cards.
That's a good one too, because then you kind of force them to have an event.
And exactly. And I'm like, and whatever you want. You want to see a baseball game, basketball game, concert? You choose, and you'll use it. Like, I feel like that's the hardest thing. It's like, I don't know. It's just hard.
Am I going to go to the Nike store and get a $200 pair of sneakers and use my $50 gift card? Ticketmaster is a great, like, in-law, like, gift, where it's like,
yes,
to my mother-in-law and father-in-law, it's like, feel free. You guys go to a you're both retired. You go to a concert a month. Let us knock $200 off a ticket.
I gave my dad, I gave him a Broadway.com tickets. So it's just a gift card. Use it for whatever you want to go see.
Smart.
Because it's like, it's hard. Like, as I get older and now with kids, I'm just like, I don't have patience to go shopping for gifts. I don't have the mental capacity to be like, to really, because it's like, I guess I used to be able to like walk around a mall, go shopping and be like, oh, that would be good for, I don't have any of that free time for that, like, lackadaisically, like, going, I have to go with like a
Tiff's
real,
one of those people that's like, I have like ideas for gifts for people. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm not even thinking. I'm like, let's just get everyone a donation to a charity that I like.
And by the way, like, I'm also feeling like we exist in a world where we can get pretty much whatever we want. Like, right? Like, I mean, like, if you want something, you'll buy it. Like, that's what I kind of do.
Yeah. Well, that's hard. That's what's hard with partners and spouses is like, Tiffany hasn't like been like, for the last 6 months, I've really wanted this and never purchased it for myself.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, oh, babe, look, it's that blender you were worried cost too much. It's like she doesn't have that bone in her.
No.
Yeah.
I've been dropping hints right now for June. We'll see if it came through about what I wanted for my birthday. Because, you know, it's hard. I always feel like it's good to drop like a little bit of a hint.
But if you tell them straight up what you want, it like takes away the juice from them a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
You're doing them a disservice.
So like, I've been really taking a lot of photos lately. And I've been like loving taking photos.
Yeah, I think the last time we hung out, you had like a real camera on.
Yeah, I had like this. And so I said to Juno, I was like, oh man, you know what would be great is like to like do like a lesson with like a photographer, just to kind of learn a little bit more. So I said that real nice and like it was from a genuine place. I was like, oh, that's like I'm seeding something. And then I was out at a store and there was a flyer for this guy. I was like, oh, I teach photography. Here's my quote and whatever. It was like a postcard. And I just left it in the kitchen. And I just wanted to see it. I was like,
you're like, I could buy this for myself too, but like, it would be nice if you, I'm helping you, just get this for me. And you know,
my mom makes me send her Amazon links and then sends me the Amazon link. And then when I open it, like on Christmas, she's like, do you like it? I'm like, yeah, of course. I sent you the link.
My mom's crazy about this shit. She's like, starts calling you in like Thanksgiving time or before in early November.
Maybe it's
like,
a Long Island
tell
thing.
Me what you want for Christmas. And I'm like, Mom,
yes.
I want cash. I'm flying to New York. Yeah. I'm flying back. Just give me, you have to have something to open.
That, I know. This is my mom. You just did my mom to me. It starts at Thanksgiving. You have to have something to open.
You got, what if it, when everyone else is opening something, I'm like, what, my 3-year-old nephews? I'm not going to get jealous when they open 5 gifts. So I finally, my mom hounds me and I go, all right, Red Dead Redemption 2. I was going to buy it anyway. And it's like, a video game is a great price level and everything. Where you're like, Mom, buy me this. She goes, Jesus, Jonathan, how old are you? I was like, you know what? Fuck you. You're going to spend $45 on a shirt that I'm going to dislike. Don't even shop. Give me $30 cash.
Yeah.
You save $15. We're both happy. Yeah.
It's a tricky thing. Like these parents like really are like, they're like so impressed by like, I'm like, but it's like, they think that they know you, but you've been living out of the house, or most of us have been living out of the house for a long time.
Yeah, in my personal situation, it's like my mom hasn't even like, she's only seen the inside of my apartment once. She doesn't even know what I like have up or anything.
Exactly. So it's like, that's why my biggest pet peeve, art. Never give anyone fucking art.
That's a close gift. That's almost like buying underwear for someone, in my opinion.
Like that is almost like you have to fucking say, I want that. Like, that's the only time.
Yes.
People gave us art when we moved into our, like, our house. And I was like, now we have to put this up? Is that what we have to do? Like, we have to put this thing that you gave? Like, that's a very personal thing.
It's too weird.
Yeah.
People do that shit all the time. Like, when they give you, like, picture frames as a gift, you're like, this doesn't go with my house at all. Also, have you been to my house? How many pictures do I have up?
I know.
Not a lot.
No, I know. I know. It's tricky. It's hard.
Give it to me. If I ever gave someone art that wasn't Tiffany, it would be under the auspices of like, and if you hate it, I don't give a shit if you don't put it up.
Right. Did you ever hear that story about George Clooney and Richard Kind?
No.
Okay. So George Clooney used to be roommates with Richard Kind. And Richard Kind, like, if you don't know who he is, he's like
Spin City.
Spin City. Like, so he's like this kind of like veteran, like character actor.
What's the dog doing?
Yeah,
he, like,
exactly.
Yells everything.
He's like, I think he was like, Mad About You Too. Like, oh, you know, right. Like the brother-in-law. Yeah. So they
did monologues at ASCAT in over the DCM. Him and Alan Alda.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Alda was unreal good.
I could only imagine. He did Oh Hello too. Like, he was
so good.
So he okay. So they're living together. They've lived together. They both are struggling actors. You know. Then George Clooney becomes George Clooney. Richard Kind, you know, still always working actor. But George Clooney always like pranked Richard Kind, and so George Clooney goes to like a garage sale. And he sees this like really shitty picture of like a clown, like there's clown paintings, but this is like a shittier version. And he goes to Richard's house. This is many years later. Now he's like the famous George Clooney, and he's like, "Hey, Richard, I've been painting, and I made this, and I was thinking about this for you, and I got you this, and I made this for you." And Richard Kind's like, "Oh my God, this is beautiful," but it's not. And so like, and so Richard Kind like puts it up in his front hallway. Like, this is George Clooney made me this clown painting. And it's like the shittiest thing. And like, George Clooney let him keep it in his house for like 5-6 years until he told him, like, I just got that at a garage sale, you fucking idiot.
Oh, that's awesome. We were talking about on Action Boys the other day, like, it always feels like you hear that these mega famous rich actors are pranksters in a way to humanize them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Clooney's the one I've heard the most. Like, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a prankster because he's a bully.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, like, I remember, but like Clooney is the one who keeps coming back where you're like, all right, I'm starting to believe this dude actually, and he has a sense of humor, well, obviously.
Like, yeah, like I feel like Clooney's actually doing like the pranks in the spirit of pranks where it's like, like, you know, like where Mel Gibson, like, I remember like Mel Gibson was a prankster.
That's,
you know,
what we were talking about Braveheart and we were saying, yeah, like Mel Gibson's a prankster. It's like that's not part of his personality.
No, he's an asshole. Like, I feel like that bit, like that clown bit is a funny prank. Like, right. That is not a bullying prank. That's just like a fucking, like,
the best Clooney prank I ever heard was, he was, and I forget, I think he told it on panel somewhere. He's like, was staying at someone's house and they had a cat.
Oh yeah.
And he kept stealing.
It's Richard Kind's cat.
It's Richard
Kind.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He keeps taking the cat's turds and he's getting more and more concerned that his cat isn't shitting. And he's like, and then Clooney on like day 5 shits in it, like a human size log. And he's like, Richard, your cat, it finally shit. It was like, I'm like, that's so fucking,
that's
funny.
That's a fucking funny bit. Like, yeah, like that. You know, where like the Mel Gibson one is like, he punched me in the stomach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I pulled him over as a police officer and he said some really fucking awful things to me.
Punched me in the stomach and gave me a homophobic slur. He's a real prankster.
He's a, what a silly boy. For a while, Christmas gift wise, me and my brother and our Sig Uds, were all brothers and Sig Uds, we're all just like exchanging $50 gift cards, and like sometimes one person got like a $75 and it started to feel weird. So we were like, let's not even get each other birthday gifts anymore. Let's just make sure we call each other on our birthdays. We just keep,
keep
sending each other $50 gift cards, and it's like, we're all
we don't need it. Like, I think the call is great. And I think for Christmas, White Elephant is a great.
We do Secret Santa for one, for our generation.
Great. That's great.
For the cousins and the brothers and the husbands and wives. Yeah.
The parents
can still buy us gifts and we'll all chip in and get mom a gift. Whatever.
That's a great. Let me ask you this. It's birthday. Where do you go for cake? Like, what is your cake? What's your go-to? Do you do a cake? Do you do a cupcake?
I'm not a sweets guy.
Really?
I'm a savory guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I will go in on ice cream.
Okay.
But for my birthday, it's always more about, like, I'm looking for fried foods and meats.
Wow.
This year, I think my birthday dinner I chose is going to be at IPIC in Westwood and
eat
a quesadilla and watch
Sunday.
Glass. Yeah.
So IPIC, for those of you who don't know, it's the best movie going experience in the world.
If you have $40 to spend on a movie ticket.
Well, now I'm a gold member, so it gets Yeah. Because I was like, all right, so if I pay $30 to become a gold member, that means I get...
If you go twice in 1 year, you break even.
Exactly. Yeah. And you get 10% off all your food and drinks. So
I'm going to become a gold member right now.
Yeah. I didn't
book my tickets for Thursday.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. And then you also get reduced price on the movie tickets. So it's like, it does all work out, the gold membership. So you're in these like little cocoons, but their food is actually pretty good.
Like, yeah, it's like bar food, but in a
elevated bar food.
Elevated bar food.
Like, we have like the spicy tuna on crispy rice,
the
quesadilla, and then, you know what I'll recommend to you? Well, you don't like it, but you don't like, they did this thing called Childhood in a Cup as their dessert. And it's like a chocolate pudding parfait. That, remember like those things that you used to have when you were
like
a kid?
Like dirt?
Yeah.
They called it and had like crumblies a gummy worm or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
So that's what I had. That was a good dessert.
My idea of a great birthday dinner is I get super high in a parking lot and then I go full horizontal, eat a meal and watch Glass. Kid in King Arthur's Court.
That is great.
That's the year I chose. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm like, Tiff, for my birthday, I want to eat here. Like, for her birthday, she's like, I want to try this place. Oh, we went to Trois Familia for her.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Or Petit Trois. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, right.
Here on Highland. Trois Mac.
Maybe. I know Trois Familia is by my house in Los Feliz. And then
this one's Trois Mac over here on Highland. Yeah, we went there for her birthday.
Oh, yeah,
my birthday, I'm like, we're going to IPIC.
I love it.
Do you have a go-to birthday sweets? Like, if someone's like...
I'll tell you, like, it's tricky. I would say if I had to, like, I'm a big cookie person. I like cookies.
Okay.
And I like a specific type of cookie, but it's like, there's a place in the Glendale Mall, again, it's like, they have a great cookie. It's like, it was a stand. It wasn't even like a full-on store. I like that. But if I was going to pick a thing that I would want, yellow cake, chocolate frosting, like store bought. That's
Entenmann's.
The shit.
That shit is
not Entenmann's. Like the one that you make, like the Duncan Hines. Like,
oh, that one.
Yeah, like that.
Oh,
yellow
hell
cake.
Yeah! I'm behind that. Yeah, that's a good call.
That was like always like you, like, and I, it's so easy to kind of make. And the Gelson's by my house, which is a supermarket by my house, they do these big chunks of those cakes like at the cash register. And every now and then I'm like, oh, I gotta get one of these.
Like an impulse buy a slice of cake.
Yeah,
hell
like,
yeah.
A slice, because it's like, because like I don't want to eat the whole cake. I don't need a whole cake.
You can't have that in the house. Because yeah, you'll like take two more forkfuls yeah. before bed. Because
like,
yeah.
like that, like whenever I have a cake like that in the house, I'm eating that at breakfast. I'm eating that at lunch. I'm like, well, I'll just have a forkful of it now. No big deal.
I'm like walking out the door, it's like, grabbing two bites, and then I work from home mostly, and like, if I have a cake in the house, there could be a fork sitting in it all day. Oh, like I walk by and taste it like it's soup that's cooking.
Yeah, but that's like a big, like, that's a fun thing. And I think like, for me, definitely my birthday is like trying to do something with June. Like last year, I love sushi. June does not, like, it's weird. She has a thing about textures. Touches and textures and things like that. So if she looks at something, she's like, I'm not gonna like how that's gonna feel in my mouth. Like that, like kind of. So she makes very big assumptions about food. But she went with me to this really good sushi restaurant, and she really enjoyed it because the guy made her eat it. Like,
do you give her a pep talk on the drive to something like that?
No, because she's like this. She's like, I'll do this for you. Like, you want to go?
It's your birthday.
My
birthday. That's cool.
So
yeah.
it's a good deal.
Yeah, I think like 1 year for my birthday, like, Tiff agreed to get stoned. Like, she doesn't really get high.
Okay,
and I'm
wow.
like, you want to blaze and watch a movie for my birthday? She's like, okay, for your birthday.
Right. That's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Actually, that's a lovely thing. It's a nice
yeah.
thing to do.
Exactly. Thank you, honey, for finally getting high with me.
But you know what it is? Like, that to me is how I've gotten older. I'm like, that's all I want. I want to just like do something that I want to do. Like, can I create the narrative of the night? Like, you
right,
know,
yeah.
and not feel
I
guilty about it.
Yeah. Dude. I was just about to tag it with and not feel like I'm asking a favor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and you don't have to do anything crazy. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Just like, that was the experience that I wanted.
Oh, that's, we have a milk bar that just opened up on La Brea
there. Yeah.
So I might have to get like a cereal milk ice cream or
a
compost cookie from them.
Oh, yeah,
as
that's
well.
Good. I like those compost cookies.
Yeah. While I have you here, there's a few other things I want to talk. First of all, you were my level 2 improv coach.
And were you in that? Who was in that class?
The only person I remember, Nick Ross and Derek Nason, those guys were used to be New York
Did
guys.
Did I take over for anybody?
No, Seth took over for you.
Oh, okay.
You left like week 5. But I remember we were in this weird little like Ripley Greer kind of adjacent place.
Yeah.
This would have been May 2004, like right after graduation. And I was a PA on Best Week Ever as well. And I sort of knew you from that.
Yeah.
And then I got, you got Entertainment Weekly did an article about you, and they sat in the class.
I remember, you know who wrote that article?
Who?
Anthony King's writing partner.
Scott Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I had no idea. That's really funny. Small world.
Yeah.
And I remember, and I was like, and the other thing, the other distinct memory I have from then was Anthony King, names out now, calling me on my cell phone to say I made Harold Knight while you were in the chair. And then you came out of the interview, and I was like, Paul, I'm on Harold Knight. And you were like, congrats, man. That's amazing. And I was like, I'm telling my level 2 coach and technically weird coworker.
That's amazing. No, those classes, I mean, it was so weird. Like, I remember, like, it's like, I loved being there in that UCB time. It's weird. I'm sure people who listen to the podcast, like, know a little bit about UCB. But it's like, I don't think that experience we had – what I had going up, what you had go learning, and then
I think
there.
Both of our experiences were probably still very different. And then I think after me, I like to say, and I'm not trying to be humble here, I was the last generation of people where it was like a large percentage of people who auditioned got put on because of how few. Like the next year after me was like 600 people auditioning.
The year
I did it was like 80 for 16 slots.
I think that there is something so crazy about that. Like I was on the first Harold team ever, but it was just basically because there wasn't that many people. I mean, I was performing 7 nights a week at a certain point, you know, teaching classes and doing all this sort of stuff. And it was sort of like you just I don't know.
Yeah, there was a period of time when I was like, Cage Match, Harold Knight, one night a week at Under St. Mark's, other random shows, yeah. Two Profits,
Under
School
St.
Night.
Under St. Mark's, we used to do a show there. Oh my gosh. Bring our own snacks and snacks and beverages. We'll make money on this. Like, why were we selling fucking snacks, granola bars? We would wind up eating it.
We were just doing it for stage time. We were like, we're breaking even every week. Yeah, it's like, we can keep it going as long as we always sell out, hustle, get people out there. Friends from work are like, what are you doing Friday? I'm like, you should come down to the East Village and see an improv show at 9:30 in a fucking
weird square that no one could get to. Like, the bathroom was like backstage.
Yeah, the bathroom was like you had to like cross stage, like fully. Yeah,
man.
Yeah, and I feel like after me, it became
so we've known each other. I mean, we've known each other really for such a long time
since 2004. Yeah, yeah.
To go back for Best Week Ever is like wow. It's like, yeah.
Well, Best Week Ever is a weird pocket in my life because now I'm like friends with a lot of people that were on it, but to me they were comedians that I had to transcribe. So now it's like
wait, you transcribe?
Yeah, because I was the PA. I would get the tapes.
I thought that was like a place that they would send it to. And
eventually, they started being able to do that. But PAs sometimes they need a quick turnaround. They're like Chuck Nice did some pickups. Get in there and get to work.
Oh man!
But like you, PF. Donna and Danielle, Jackie Clark, all these people that Hubel, all these people that would end up being sort of my friends or I would end up performing with. I'm like, I've been fucking, we've been secretly working together forever.
So crazy.
Such a weird world.
But it is. It's so funny because I feel like, you know, we know that we hang out all the time, but it's like, but when I see you, I feel a kindred spirit because we've known each other for such a long
time. It is that weird thing where it's like we don't hang out that much when we see each other. It's like here we are, it's been 16 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of that fun was going to that San Francisco festival because it was like, oh, that was actually like such a good time just to hang out.
Right. Yeah.
And I was gonna say something else about that, but
oh yeah, I mean, sometimes you get to do improv shows with your friend and there's also five other people there. And you thank the fucking good Lord that Paul was also there.
Oh my God. I will never feel more happy than looking over at you and being like, well, at least we're in this together.
Yeah, I'm like, I think you were in a scene and you looked at me and I went, I'm coming. And I just like walked on as the first character you mentioned that wasn't in the scene. You're like, well, Brenda. And I'm like, Brenda's here. I just like storm on to start engaging.
I just remember the one thing about that show was we had a 90-minute slot. And I said, we don't have to do the full 90 minutes though, right? And they're like, well, I think somebody else said to me, like, well, I think if we don't, the audience will be let down. And that was right before
that's
we walked
the
on
case,
stage.
By the way, that's
never the case.
No.
Never the case.
Yeah. No one does encores for no one's like, come out and do another 15 minutes, please. No one wants to see that shit.
I think if you if you did a 45 minute long improv show is plenty.
Yeah. If you have an hour slot, you do 45 minutes. You have a 90 minute slot, you do 60 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, that's all you need to do. No improv show should be longer than 70 minutes with an intermission.
Oof, God, that even makes me nauseous thinking about
that
it.
Makes me feel that's like Ass Cat's not even that long.
Yeah.
Okay, and then here's my other field of questions I want to get with. Because you, for a long time, I've always looked to you for like productivity, life hack type stuff.
All right, yeah.
Because I am like a king of tiny kingdoms in the way. Yeah. Like you have podcasting, TV, this, you're doing all this shit, you're producing all this stuff on the side. Do you have anything that you've done in the last few years or a device or a method that you've gotten that has like helped you handle everything?
Yeah, I have, but all right. So I will say that there,
or is there a mindset or even like a new behavior you took on?
Yeah. I have everything that I'll probably tell you here, I bastardize on some level. Okay. So it's like, so I got like the core, it's a kind of like improv, like you learn the rules and then you make it your own.
Yeah.
Right?
You're like, well, that's, I could do it like this.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
There's this book that I heard about called Getting Things Done, right? This GTD,
yes.
Howard Stern talks about it. And the core concept of it is great. It kind of was written before I think computers really took over.
Right.
So there's an element to that. So I really like use that in a sense of mapping what I need to get done and like keeping lists. But then sometimes it's weird. I think a lot of the times it's like, what do you pull? Like one thing from here, one thing from here, one thing from here. Like that's what I do. Like I just read this great book, about productivity for creative individuals. And it was like, it actually made a big difference. It was like, it was just, this is what I'm trying to instill right now, routine, right? Like, and giving yourself a routine. So every morning when you get up, like the ideally, and I always say like whoever is writing this stuff doesn't have kids, but you get up and then you go like, I'm going to write for an hour and I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to like just for an hour, not emails, not anything. I'm just going to put me first and that time first. And then I'll do the rest of the day. And that to me, like I don't have a routine. And I was like, oh, I think I want to like start instilling that. So like this idea of like a routine, I have a bunch of different apps that I use that I think keep me in check and stuff like that.
Like, so when you say routine, you mean, all right, I'm starting to set an alarm for the same time every day. Well, or it's a little different way if you're a dad.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So like, I mean, like, I guess it would be like, so for me, my day starts around 6:15 every day, you know, maybe 6:45. And I'll get up, I have to get my kids dressed, fed, and ready. So say like when they're out the door for school, it's 9 a.m. So at that point at 9 a.m., then if I want, and I would say like maybe 3 days a week, I'm going to the gym. So then I'm back. So if I'm not work, if I'm not working yeah. and doing anything major, this is like,
yeah,
when I
if
have,
you're
like,
working, it ends up being 14 hour days. And
yeah.
And
it's like, I'm up at five. Yeah. And yeah. But so then like, ideally I go home, I shower. And at this point, like say it's 10 a.m. Now I'm like, all right, the first thing I'm doing, I may have a million things to do, is I'm just going to focus on whatever I want to focus on. My, and that's not emails, and that's not, you know, doing, you know, notes on a project. It's like something, I'm going to do my creative time. It's kind of like morning pages.
Yeah.
But you're just like, I'm going to just spend an hour now putting my thing first.
Yeah, and you're, you know, like, all right, at 11 a.m. when my watch beeps is when I can stop writing this passion feature.
Exactly.
I'm writing,
and then I'll go and I'll do my emails and do everything like that. So that like really rung true to me.
That makes sense to me because I find myself leaning away from creative stuff, getting
yes.
other stuff done, and then scratching the itch of like, well, I got all those emails done. I did
yes.
the dishes. I did this. I kind of had a good day. And then I'm like, it's been 6 weeks and I haven't moved on a pilot I'm writing.
So the idea is you always do your thing first because studies show that you are more creative in, when you put your thing, when you do whatever you're doing first. So right. like, you know, like I'm dropping my kids off at school. I'm doing that. That's not exerting me in any way. But the first time I'm sitting down in front of my computer, if it's just the creative thing that I'm focused on, that's, I'm going to get the most productive me. I'm going to get the best me right then and there.
Yo, that's so funny. Just today I was at the gym and I was thinking to myself, okay, so if I don't get like a full-time job, what schedule? And I was literally thinking to myself, I'm like, should I wake up and do like from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. or 8:30 to 9:30? I just write and don't worry. And then at 9:30, I get up and go to the gym.
Right.
Or do I go to the gym from 8 to 9:30, sit down from 10 to 11 uninterrupted?
I think it's like wherever you feel the best. You know, it's like, I think, but it's like not getting caught up in the day. Like where, because I think that that's part of the rule. It's like, how can you, because if you get up, you don't check your phone and you come right in here and you're just like, all right, let me just start going. Like you're open to not getting hung up by like, what did so-and-so say on Twitter? What did this thing?
Yes.
You're not going in these wormholes and your brain is like fully functional. And I feel like if I was to like give myself, I think that the thing where I'm, what I don't have time for is I used to read a lot more. I used to not have my phone on me all the time. So I could like daydream and do things and like, and you were losing that. And so like, if you can kind of like knock that out, like wall
right,
that off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I've been thinking of, like I got an alarm clock and didn't keep my phone by my nightstand for like a couple of weeks. And I realized I felt crazy before bed and in the morning. And then I'm like, I don't think I should be looking at my phone right before bed. Then again, first thing in the morning.
No, totally.
You're right. You know what? I get up and go, this is TMI, but I get up and get on the toilet.
Of course.
And I bust out my phone and then I'm there for 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably only need 6 minutes to
do
everything I need to do.
Just like put a book in there and read a book that's not, you know, whatever.
Right.
Just like,
yeah. Just don't even bring my phone in there. That's the move. Yeah.
And then the other thing, going back to the GTD thing, the getting things done thing, this is what I like about that. Like the core concept that I think is really smart is you want to write a pilot, right? Or what? Or let's make it even simple. Like, you want to plant a garden outside, right? So like your goal is you'd write down a sheet of paper, plant garden. And then you underneath that, all the steps you would need to plant the garden. So you're like, all right, I gotta measure an area in the back. I gotta get the seeds from Home Depot. Get this tool. So you list like 15, 20 different things. And then that's how you treat like your goal. So your end goal is like, I want to plant a garden, but you're giving yourself 15 steps to get there. So it's much easier to be like, I'm gonna go to Home Depot today. That's done. I'm going to go get shroom. So like all of a sudden, you're not going, I'm going to plant a garden every day. You're saying, I have these 20 steps to plant the garden.
Right. And so, like, so if I bang out three today and three tomorrow, three
you're
going to
get,
yeah.
you're going to, like, at the end of the week, you're going to plant that garden because you're giving yourself small attainable tasks, not this big giant idea where it's like, plant a garden because it's like
you can keep punting that. You can keep going, oh, I'll plant a garden. You can get like one thing comes in where they're like, hey, can you do notes on this? And you're like, gardens next week. Instead, you could be like, well, I could still get three things at Home Depot.
But like what you were saying, like you answer emails, you do the dishes, you're like, oh, no, run over to Home Depot. Boom, one thing's done. So you still are, and I think that that's a really good, and it takes some patience to sit down and be like, what do I need to accomplish this? And sometimes in creative things, but you can give yourself small challenges. Like you could be like, all right, to write a script, I got to write, you know, 5 pages. Then I got to write 10 pages. Then I got to write 20 pages. Yeah. So, you know, if you're just
there's
like,
also that momentum to knocking stuff off. I love a to-do list.
Yeah.
As I'm showing you.
No, yeah.
But you can get momentum if you, the more shit you, I'll sometimes put something on there like cut nails or like, you know, trim beard.
It just feels
like,
good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I took a screenwriting class, and the reason why I took it was I never wrote a feature.
Is this relatively recently?
Yeah, like last year.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing like more classes lately. Like I'm in a Spanish class right now.
This is fucking crazy. Yeah. I just told, literally over Christmas break, I said, I took Spanish classes in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to take Spanish classes again. I talked to a friend of mine who wants to take Spanish classes. He works in Netflix too. They hired him a coach. Because he works in international. He's like, but the guy will work with you. I can get you a good rate. And I'm like, now I'm going to fucking do that.
Well, that's like, I think that sometimes too, it's like, it's good to continue to learn. And I don't need to like take like audition classes. Not that I don't need to learn about that, but it's like, I'd rather expand my worldview a little bit. That's why I'm like taking a photography class, take a Spanish class. Like just do things where I'm like, it's something different. Like, and I'm so that's like, I don't even know why I got on the classes.
Because you were talking about the screenwriting class.
Oh, screenwriting. Yeah. So I took a screenwriting class because I'm like, I never did it. I want to just try to do it. And what was so great about that class was it kept me on schedule. Every Saturday, I needed to hand in work. So I had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and there's a difference between having a class. I'm very good. Like, if you give me a deadline, I'm going to fucking hit that deadline. I have to do it.
Right. Yeah. You might be Friday night at 9:30 p.m. writing your 5 pages.
But I won't be writing that Friday night at 9 p.m. if I don't have to hand it in on Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, shit, dude. That's pretty wild. That's kind of what I did with a half marathon for fitness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I signed up for a half marathon with like 5 months to go. And I'm like, I can fuck around for another 2 months, but 3 months out, I have to start training or else I'm going to be humiliated and potentially hurt.
No.
I went and I did it. And I would never have thought I could run 13 miles, but that's the ultimate GTD of just like, if you can run 1 mile, then maybe try running 1.5.
Yeah.
Then you try running 2, and then you keep just
going. You just keep on going. It's like, and I think that that's important. Then the other book that I just read that I really, really like, and this is my final book that I'm going to give you, is The War on Art. And so it's like, it's a play on the word of art, the
Sun Tzu war.
Art of War. And it's written by this guy, Stephen Pressman. And it's basically just like all the ways that we sabotage ourselves to write and be creative. And it's amazing. It's things I've never articulated. And you see it, you're like, oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Oh,
and you can read it in like a day. Like I read it like, I think in a day, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, like these are the things I'm talking
about.
All
these books, by the way, read in a day. They're not like cracking up.
By the way, you're also a parent, so that's a whole nother layer of busyness.
But
like, I can't, I used to read like crazy in New York.
Oh, God.
And now
I
don't
read
do
so
shit.
Much.
Yeah.
It bums me out so much. Like, I mean, and like when I say I read those books in a day, it's like, oh, I got on an airplane that day where my kids were not there and I was cranked through the book. Yeah.
I had a 4-hour, you know, turnaround when someone else was shooting their scene.
Like, I looked at Mark Duplass, who I did The League with, like, he has an Instagram thing and he like released all the books that he read in 2018. When you look at this list, like, what the fuck, man? Where did you get this time?
And
like,
if I think you're busy, that dude's name is on like 75 fucking things.
I'm like, how are you reading like multiple, like 500, 600 page books? Like, I just don't get it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I read the most when I am working. When I book something and they're like, hey, you got 2 hours in your trailer.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. I'm going to read a book for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm getting paid.
Yeah. Yeah. I love sitting in a trailer. I'll do that all the time.
Everyone's like, I'm like, waiting around is my favorite part of acting.
Yeah.
I'm not that good at acting. I'm very good at keeping my business.
Yeah. Just let me be in that trailer. I'll be fine. I'll be there all day long.
I know my backpack's like phone charger, laptop, movies downloaded, books, magazines, everything.
I'm ready to go. It's like a hotel stay. It's the best.
Yeah, it is like a hotel. You're like, did they put out more spa water at the craft services? Oh, see, that's... Those are... I need to get involved. I need to read this.
I only send you the picture of that book that... you know what? I'll tell you what it is right now. Oh, wait, no, you can't use
You know phone. What? We'll put it up with the, tweet or whatever. Okay, it doesn't matter. This is for me anyway. Fuck these listeners. well, that's... So have you noticed anything behavioral change wise that you've like has affected your like that you're like I used to fuck around and do blank, now here's something that's gone, like, or here's something I don't do, or here's something I do. Because exercise is something, if I'll just answer my own question, like a great host. Before you talk, shout over you. I used to, like, for a long time wasn't exercising, and I was like, I don't have time for that. I have to, like, do work.
Yeah.
Then I, in the last couple of months, started exercising again, and I feel like I'm doing more than I have, like, work-wise. Well, yeah, and I'm like, I think I need this for mental health
purposes.
I think
exercise is important, and I feel like the thing that I always, like, think about is, like, if you have enough time to fuck around on internet for 30 minutes, just go to the gym for 30 minutes. Just make that commitment.
Yes.
And
I'm fucking around on the internet for way more than 30 minutes.
Exactly. And sometimes, like, I just do, I might have a very simple exercise that I do at the gym, but I'm very happy with it. I ratchet the treadmill up to 12.5, like incline.
Incline, yeah.
And then I just put it on 2.5 as speed. And I'm just walking
a slow
up,
plodding.
It's like a hike. It's like a hike right up for 30 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm sweating at the end of it.
Are you iPadding something at this point?
Yeah, of course.
That's fucking the move.
And,
yeah.
And I'm like, but then I feel like I've worked out, and it's like, and look, I could get into other things too and whatever, but like running doesn't do it for me. I could iPad on a bike too, but I just like, I feel like my whole body's moving, and I feel like
anyone will tell you that if you're going to do it for 30 minutes, then it's the right workout for you.
Right.
If like walking, if running's not for you, but walking is, if you like to bike, if you like to row, if you like to swim, whatever it's going to make you, if you like to lift weights, swing a kettlebell, whatever is going to make you do something for 30 minutes is the answer.
Yeah. That's
100% the answer.
Yeah. You just need to go, like, I'm not going to get yoked. I'm not like, you know, I'm like, I'm happy to just be like, can I be in shape? And there's days where I want to be like, I think if I had famous last words, like if I had like a treadmill in my house, I would do it a lot more, because it's sort of like, because there are some days where I'm like, oh fuck, all right, well by the time I go over there, park, come back and park again, like if I just like went right there in my house, I'd be like, great, then 30 minutes I'll be in the shower, like I'll be in the shower at 31,
yeah,
and then I'll be, you know, it's like I can, like, you know, that's
I do shit like that to myself where I shrink time, where I'm like, Paul's coming over to do a podcast at 11. I have an audition at 4. I guess that's all I'm doing that day.
Yeah, no.
And then there's like 2.5 to 3 hours in the day in the middle that is available, but I'm like, it's not enough time to like do work
once I decide on it, then I've eaten up that. It's like, yeah, like I got to get my
home out. And that's like some self-defeating thing I do there. Yeah.
That's it. War of Art.
War of Art. I'm going to
That's a good book.
That's so... Well, Paul, we can wrap it up here for you. We can get out of here.
Make sure that I know what time.
It's 3:45.
Okay, so I have to leave at 4, right?
Yeah. Okay, right. I think that's the time. Yeah. That's a question. This is maybe a bougie question, but has adding like having an assistant helped you out greatly?
Yes.
Everyone I talk to of that level of person who can get an assistant is like, they almost pay for themselves.
Like, well, I mean, if you're in like the world of like acting and stuff like that, like what I did, this may be boring to everybody else, but when you're in this world and you're a writer, you're an actor, you're a director, you have these agents and managers, they all take money from you, right? So they take like 10%. So you get like a paycheck. So say your paycheck is $10, then you're going to give, all right, so say like 50% goes to the government right off top. So you get $5. And then, but then you have to pay 10%
of
to your agent of $10. So that's one more dollar gone. So now you're on 4. Then you have to pay it to, like, some people have a manager. So that's all right. So that's $2. So yeah, it's $3. And then you got to pay a lawyer, gets 5%. So
that's 5%.
So now you're like making like $2.50. And that's like a crazy small amount. Like, you know, when you feel like, you know, when you see it all done. So I fired my manager and then I got an assistant. And it's been the best.
And she just tackles like your schedule and stuff for you.
I don't know where I go. I just like know that it's in my thing and I go.
Right. Because that's kind of what we're talking about. Like, oh, I got to be here at 3:30. Got to be here. If you can just having to respond to all that, if you can take that out of your day.
Like, I will inevitably mess up like scheduling now because she's got it down to this well-oiled machine work. So like, it's like that, like looking at my calendar, looking at somebody else's calendar, waiting for an email to come back. And I'm like, yeah, it's so much easier to like, yeah, that's actually been amazing.
That's really cool. That's
sorry
all
to be,
I need.
Like too bougie.
No, I don't. Please. Everyone loves stupid process questions. No matter what business you're in, you're like, wait a minute. How do you, I remember when I toured UCB, all everyone asked was like, so do you guys fly from school to school? And like, how do you choose which four people go? I'm like, this doesn't matter to college kids, but everyone's curious about process.
Yeah, how do you get to that thing? I know, yeah. I'm always like, what my dream is to kind of, I was talking about this with Mandzukas. I want to create a Slack, which is like an online workspace thing for a community of people. And I think people can do this internally with their own community. So like, say it's like you, it's me, it's Mandzukas, it's like Rob Corddry, a handful of people, and sort of like, if you're like, oh, the Spanish teacher is amazing, there would be a thing over there, and they'd be like, oh, great, I'm going to use your Spanish teacher. Like, basically, a small database of people that we all know and work with, because I feel like that's the thing that I'm always fascinated with. Like, someone's like, oh, yeah, I got, I love my gym. Oh, I take this great kickboxing class. Oh, this restaurant is really good. Like, it's almost like a curated...
Right,
of
it's
your
like,
own friends.
Like, that's like the next thing on social media, I think, is shrinking it back down to like,
yeah.
I don't need to tweet to 60,000 people, hey, where should I get seaweed salad in West Hollywood? Because that's something I had the other day. I'm like, where can I buy seaweed salad in West Hollywood? And I'm like, I don't want to tweet that and deal with people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I guess do I email my five friends that live in West Hollywood? But this is what the kind of, we need the in-between Instagram and
right.
text thread.
It's sort of like, because you want like, I want to know what my friends think. And like, sometimes it's like, I don't sit down and go like, hey, who hung your TV on your wall? Like,
right.
You know, like, you know, but
it
like, you may be like, oh, I have a great person who hangs my fucking TV on a wall.
Right, exactly. It's so, yeah, it is like next door, but for your friends.
Yeah.
Like for,
like, yeah.
So you're confident in their taste and your trust in like what you're asking for.
Like this guy, I hired this guy this week to do some like work in my house. And like, it's a small, like, a great handyman guy. I'm like, oh, but you would never know that I have a great handyman guy unless you asked me, but why would you ask me that? And then, like, but if we had this, like, online kind of Slack system.
Oh, that makes total
sense.
Yeah, I, like, got a doctor recommendation from a friend. I'm like, I need, like, a real doctor. They're like, oh, I love my doctor. And I'm like, this is an adult 40-year-old man conversation I never had before, but thank God I found this fucking doctor.
Let me ask you this question. What do you think about Freedom?
The app? I haven't fucked with that too much.
Sorry. This is the future of doctor's offices. Have you seen this?
No, I thought you were talking about the thing that shuts your internet off for an
hour. I think it is called that, and maybe I'm misrepresenting what the place is called. But basically, so it's like this crazy like kind of gym membership for doctors. You go in, you have a doctor's appointment, like they like scan your body. Your body's like, it's like Total Recall level doctors.
Yeah. And voluptuous.
So they send
Sleazy.
You like, your doctor like will text you. You text back with your doctor. You have like all your stuff is on your phone. You're like, totally communicating with them. Like it hooks up with your Apple Watch. Like to be like, oh, where are you doing? Like it's like a very, like, it's like, I think the idea is healthcare is weird. Like, I mean, I do this one thing that I love and help. Like, the one thing I've done that I love is Heal. So Heal is like when you're sick, you have this app on your phone, you click it, you put your insurance into it, and doctors come to your house. They give you a flu shot at your house, or they'll come to your house and be like, if you're like sick with a sore throat, you're in bed, they'll come, they'll examine you, they'll write you a prescription, they'll send it to your drugstore, you're ready
to go.
House call. Heal. Yeah. It's the best app, especially now with kids. When they get sick, just click on the Heal app, and it's all insurance. So it's like never more than $20.
Oh, that makes total sense. I can't believe that's not a bigger
thing.
House calls. It's really
real
funny.
Doctors,
technology has us swinging back to like the old ways of
like
Uber's hitchhiking.
It's totally the same thing. It's so crazy.
All shit like our parents' generation did. We're all doing now via like apps though.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So that's what I've been like. Yeah, but that there's. I'll show you. I'll send you the name of this like futuristic doctor's office.
Now, you're like, they're like, according to data, it looks like your vitamin B levels are off. See this person.
I think it's like an all encompassing facility where they're like mental. Like it's like, I think the idea is like, how can we get people to pay a monthly doctor's bill? That's what I think the end game is.
That's interesting though, because. Yeah. Some people could use that if they're like, if I yeah. go 4 or 5 times a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also like, because if they make it all about like, hey, are you losing weight or how's your cholesterol or what's, you know, it's like, you don't need it, but you play into the hypochondria of like people going, am I sick?
Yeah.
I could text my doctor and I'm not feeling something.
A good doctor that you trust and will go to is something I can't believe it took me to be 35.
Oh,
have
that's
one.
About the time when I got into the doctor game too. Like now I'm like, oh yeah, I have a doctor.
Yeah, when I was like, yeah, so my back hurts all the time. He's like, it's probably because of your big belly. And I was like, right. Okay, yeah. Well, now that you told me that, I'm not allowed to complain about my back anymore at least. Yeah.
No, but it's a crazy thing. It's like, but there's all these things out there that like, you don't even know who to ask. It's like you get to be like, all of a sudden you're an adult. You're like, I don't have a doctor. Like, yeah, where do I go to this? And like, I'm at a dentist, but is that a good dentist? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It's so, and then now like with having kids and pediatricians and OBGYNs, fertility, all that shit, you're all of a sudden you're like, now I'm like comparing doctors. I used to just go to whoever my mom said.
No, exactly. You have to kind of like, yeah.
It's like a weird adult part of life, but I highly recommend if anyone's listening and doesn't have a doctor that they like and you're in your late 20s, it's time
You need to be going to the doctor once a year for a yearly checkup.
Minimum. And then like just, you'll learn something about your body that you need to tweak slightly and you'll
get
do better
it.
Forever. Now, Paul, let's just end this with our annual happy birthday bit.
Yeah.
So we'd like to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. I'd like to wish you a happy birthday.
All right. Thank you. Maybe we'll wish Christine Nangle a happy birthday.
Happy Christine Nangle birthday.
James Adomian.
Happy birthday.
Bobby Moynihan.
Happy birthday.
Now we get into famous people that I'm not friends with.
Right. Justin Timberlake.
Mini Driver.
Yes, Mini Driver. Speechless.
Porsche de Rossi.
Yes, these are all good.
Oh, shit. Who else is there? Jackie Robinson.
Oh, and isn't it... who's on Scandal? Is it her? Is she...
Kerry Washington.
Yes.
Phil Collins.
Ah, the great Phil Collins.
David Young, TV writer. But if I didn't say his name, he'd be pissed.
Yeah, all right.
He always emails me. He's like, so I see you did a birthday thing. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
The people are more famous than you are.
No, David Young gets a special shout out. What is he writing on right now?
I think he did Carpool Karaoke was his last job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that's still going or what.
Well, I'm curious about the writing process on that. Let's talk about process.
Yeah, I think because they do so many like, mini little bits.
Yeah.
There is like a bit element to it. I don't think it's like a 10-person writer's room, but I think
I mean, I also think that Carpool Karaoke is like probably one of the hardest things to edit, which I imagine that's what he's doing too.
Oh, that seems like a nightmare to me.
Yeah.
Just like that many cameras. You did that shit with like a green screen. And Super Drive or whatever
it was called? But that was at least easy because you'd load them all in. And then it was like, so it was only one camera. Like,
right.
You know,
yeah.
It was more like pop, pop, pop to cut to edit. But like, yeah.
And then this is cutting to music. It's like way too hard. Well, that's happy birthday to all the January 31st
ads.
It's
happy
the dawning
birthday.
Of the age of Aquarius. Sheer, this is so awesome that
I'm
you came
so
on this podcast.
Here. Thank you so much.
Please, thanks for doing it, man. Do you have anything that you want to plug?
You can watch Black Monday on Showtime if you get Showtime. And, yeah, you know what? As a matter of fact, you can go to Showtime and use the code Black Monday and you get a free 30 days of Showtime.
Oh, do that.
There's that.
Do that.
And then check out Unspooled and How Did This Get Made if you like listening to podcasts about movies. Good
Hell
and bad.
Yeah. If you have not listened to How Did This Get Made, but somehow listen to High and Mighty, you can start with the Quest episode that I was on.
Oh, yeah. Good crossover.
Or start with the Action Jackson episode you recently put up. Because I think that was one of my favorite ones.
Oh, my gosh. That was a real fun one. Seth Rogen.
Is so funny on that. I mean,
so
everyone
good.
Is funny on that, but Seth is like way too into the movie.
Oh, yeah. He was so into it. It was great.
All right, thank you, Sheer. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.